Turn with me to Psalm 110. Excuse me, 103. 103, verses 1 and 2. Psalm 103, verses 1 and 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. We think on these things, we think on what God has done for us, and we think about this year as it's winding down. I want to thank God for the opportunity we have in front of us tonight, that we can study part of his words, that it will be an encouragement to you, as much as it has been an encouragement to me to study some of these things. Tonight, I want to start asking a question and then giving you a profound statement. Is it enough? It is enough. A play on words, yes. Is it enough? It is enough. A statement or a question. This time of year, we reflect on what our past deeds were, the past things we accomplished in 2025. And then we're on the cusp of starting a new year with all the things that we look forward to, all the accomplishments I want to start. What have we not done? What projects have I finished? What projects do we need to begin? As we look at that, we also reflect on things about each other, on ourselves, because this is a personal question. Is it enough? It is enough. And each Christian needs to focus on that. Did we do things this past year like, did we study enough? Did we spend time with God enough? Did we pray enough this year, or were we going to pray more next year? Have I spent enough time with God this year, or am I going to reserve that for, I'm going to spend more time with God this year, even though this year may have been enough? And if we studied, did we just study the things that we met with on Sunday mornings and Wednesday evenings? We only study those two topics, or did we study also things of our own? As we begin our journey looking at those things and that question that keeps pondering, is it enough? It is an individual question. God knows our hearts, if it was enough. Did we spend enough time? But we know the world doesn't think about those things. They don't think about if they spend enough time in prayer. They worry about physical things. Do I have the right job this year? Or do I need to look forward to a new job next year? Do I live in the right house? Or is it too small and I need a bigger house? Is the company that I work for or the place I work for, are they paying me enough money or do I need to move somewhere else? But Christians have a different perspective. We need to put things first. We need to focus on what is important. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. We'll be reading a few passages, as you can see, from Matthew chapter 6. But we need to seek God first. We need to seek His kingdom first. We need to put Him in our lives first before anything else. Yes, before anything else. I'm going to read a couple versions of the Matthew 6 verses 33 from the New King James Version. It says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." In the International English Bible, it says, "So put God's kingdom first and what is right. Then all things you need will be given to you." And then the English Standard Version, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." What we see in these statements, prior to this though, Jesus had given His apostles and disciples some things that said, if you're seeking God first, you're not looking for earthly treasures. Because the treasures that we have in heaven certainly can't be destroyed or worn down or decay, because in heaven is enough. It is enough. Jesus pointed out that the treasures in heaven were enough. And staying in Matthew chapter 6, reading verses 19 through 21, our focus needs to be there because that is enough. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And that means my focus. That means my direction. That means my goal. That means my drive. That means my passions is where I should be. I'm sure everybody knows that I do like to fish, but still, God comes first. Yes, fishing is fun. Having grandchildren and spending time with them, that's fun. I get to act like a kid again. I don't know if I ever grown up, but I get to act like a kid again. But Jesus points out to them that the kingdom is where we need to put these things first. Jesus pointed out that in completeness, we have treasures in heaven. And those treasures will fill us up. Well, what are they going to fill us up with? Well, in that same chapter, verses 22 through 23, it says our whole body is going to be filled up with brightness, with light. And we know that if we have light, we push out then the darkness. Because it is enough to be filled with light and not be filled with darkness. Matthew 6, 22 through 23. The lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, your eye is good, your whole body will be filled of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? So Jesus was saying it is enough to have your eye and focus on the treasures in heaven. Your eye will fill your body up with light. It will be complete. It will be enough. Staying in chapter 6 of Matthew, verses 24, Jesus also told them, you know, besides laying up your treasures in heaven, besides keeping your eye focused on all the good things, that there's things that you can't do. You can't have two masters that control your life, that control the things that you're passionate about. You can't serve two different things that are opposing. Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God, and it says mammon or riches. So yes, we work to pay the bills. We work to pay things that we have in this secular life. But we know that we need to put God first, and he will provide things for us. Our riches, our treasure is better in heaven than having a full 401k, than having a diverse portfolio. Keeping our focus on God is enough. And in verse 25 of that same chapter, Jesus told them, you shouldn't worry about these things. But we do, right? We worry about, well, what are we going to make tomorrow? What are we going to wear tomorrow? Luckily, I worked for a job that I didn't have to worry about what I was going to wear to work. It was a uniform. What are you going to wear? The same thing you wore the day before. The same thing. I didn't have to color coordinate because my wife has to do that for me. But I didn't have to color coordinate. You don't have to worry about the things that you will eat. It's more than just food, drink, and our homes and our clothing. Because if we put God first, it will be enough. Matthew 6, verse 25. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life. That's easy to say. Sometimes it's hard to put in practice. What you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. It is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing. All these things will be provided for us if we seek God first. If we profess things like the love of Jesus and seek him first, we know that that will be enough. If that is enough, then keeping the commandments of God should be pleasant and should be enough. Jesus told his disciples that if we loved him, keep his commandments. Now I have a few more passages listed here on this slide. We're going to turn to John 14, verses 15 through 18. John 14, 15 through 18. Because if I'm enough, if this is full, if we're complete, if this is all we need as far as our direction, then it should be easy to follow Jesus. It should be easy to listen to His commandments. It should be easy to follow the things that He asked for us. And in John chapter 14, 15 through 18, Jesus, this is a prayer He's asking for the apostles and disciples. If you love Me, keep My commandments, and I will pray the Father. He will give you another helper. We know that's the Holy Spirit that's going to help assist them in their mission. And that He may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you, and I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Excuse me. Jesus explained that you're not going to be left alone to complete the work that I've asked you to do. And that happens today. We're not left alone. We have each other, but we also have the gospel in front of us and those that are laid out for us, that we have a helper by understanding His word, because we are going to seek God first. Remember back in the Old Testament, in the time of the invasion and conquest, Joshua was approached by the two tribes, Ephraim and Manasseh, because they were large in number. And they said, you know, you've given us a portion, but that portion is not enough. They said they were a great people and needed more space. So they were worried about where they shall live, where they shall live upon, and what things were given to them. They said to Joshua, the lot was too small. Joshua said, well, if you seek God first, we will give you another portion, but you have to do your part. And that part was to secure the land for themselves. So Joshua chapter 17, verses 14 through 18. Then the children of Joseph spoke to Joshua, saying, why have you given us only one lot and one share to inherit, since we are a great people, inasmuch as the Lord has blessed us until now? So Joshua answered them, if you are a great people, then go up to the forest country and clear a place for yourself there in the land of the Perizzites and the giants, since the mountains of Ephraim are too confined for you. But the children of Joseph said that the mountain country is not enough for us. And all the Canaanites who dwell in the land of the valley have chariots of iron, but those who are of Beth Shean and its towns, and those who are the valley of Jezreel. And Joseph spoke to the house of Joseph, to Ephraim and Manasseh, saying, you are a great people and you have great power. You shall not only have one lot, but the mountain country shall be yours. Although it is wooded, you shall cut it down, and its furthest extent shall be yours, for you shall drive out the Canaanites, though they have iron chariots and are strong. Joshua was pointing, you are strong. It will be enough. Because you have God, He will drive those out. He will make sure that you have enough. And so it was talking about their space, their amount where they were going to live. Was it enough? And they told Joshua, it is not enough. In Matthew chapter 10, verses 24 through 25, Jesus was taught His disciples to be like Him, to be like the teacher, not to overpass Him, but be like Him. And they needed to do their part, so it was sufficient. It was enough. It was complete. It should be enough to be a servant like their master, Jesus. So in Matthew chapter 10, verses 24 through 25, a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher, and a servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house of Beelzebub, how much more will they call those of his household? Recall when Jesus was praying in the garden. On the night He was betrayed, the agony He went through with His apostles, as they were there, He was praying to the Father, He was praying earnestly and intently. He knew what was about to come. He was about to be betrayed into the hands of the Sanhedrin, who was then going to turn him over to the Roman government. He knew that his time was coming short and needed his apostles with him. But while they were there and he was praying, they fell asleep. They didn't understand the events that are about to unfold. They didn't understand what was happening. And he returned to them to find them sleeping. And returned them again to find them sleeping. And in a third time, he told them in Mark 14, verse 41. Then he came the third time and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? It is enough. The time has come. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners." When Jesus sent his disciples out in the limited commission, he told them you didn't need to take much. You didn't need to take extra things with you, extra garments. You didn't need to bring a money bag. You didn't need to bring things. But he knew when he was sending them out for the Great Commission that they needed to have more things. And in Luke 22, verses 35 through 38, we see that you needed to be more supplied. And that happens today. There are times on our journey we need to take little or a lot. Is it enough? And I know all of us men who have wives and we go on journeys, we know that it is enough, seems to be not quite enough. Limited amount of space doesn't necessarily mean that's a limited amount of things that they're taking. That means you just take less. So it is enough. And he gave them a list of things that to take on the journey. And there are times that we are unburdened is sufficient. And there's times that we have to be prepared to face the challenges that lay ahead of us. And then what can happen? When is it enough? So Jesus talked to them and told them in Luke 22, verses 35 through 38. And he said to them, "When I sent you without money bag, knapsack, and sandals, did you lack anything?" So in that limited commission, did you lack anything? They said they didn't lack anything, so it was enough. Then he said to them, "By now, he who has a money bag, let him take it. And likewise a knapsack. And he who has a sword, let him sell his garment and buy one." Excuse me. "He who has no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say to you, that this which is written must be accomplished in me. And he was numbered with the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end, a finish line, a completeness." So they said, "Lord, look, here are two swords." And he said to them, "It is enough." Paul wrote in his second letter to the Corinthians about having a work that needed to be begun by Titus, and he needed to complete this work. This work was also be completed by the Christians in Corinth, but by this direction was given to him. He wrote that this was a test of their sincerity and their love to see if they would follow these things. Do we love God with all our hearts and all our minds and all our soul, that we become complete, that we become mature, so that we will be enough? 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 6 through 11, Paul writes, "So we urged Titus that as he had begun, so he would also complete. This grace in you as well, but as you abound in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love for us, see that you abound in this grace also." Continuing in verse 8, "I speak not by commandment, but I am testing the sincerity of your love by the diligence of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that through his poverty might become rich. And in this I give advice, it is to your advantage not only to be doing what you have begun and were desiring to do it a year ago, but now you must also complete." Remember, he was trying to talk to them about the task that they were going to set aside certain monies to donate to those that needed it. that you must complete it, complete the doing of it, that as there was a readiness and a desire to it, so there also may be a completion out of what you have. Was it enough? They had planned to do it. They talked about doing it. And Paul was telling, well, now you need to complete it, so it is enough. Paul also, in his closing letter and closing remarks to the second to Corinthians in the second Corinthian letter, prayed that their work there would be complete, that they would mature, that they would walk forward. And as he gives them their final farewell, their final message, and things to build them up, and a directive to be complete, he gave them three things to focus on so that it would be enough. 2 Corinthians 13, verses 9 through 11. For we are glad when we are weak and you are strong. And this also we pray, that you may be made complete, mature, have completeness. Because we remember in the previous letter and this previous time, they weren't maturing. They were fighting amongst each other. They had carnal knowledge, and he was trying to make them spiritually complete. Therefore, remember, therefore, pay attention. I write these things being absent, because I wasn't there, says Paul, lest being present I should use sharpness according to the authority which the Lord has given me for the edification and not for destruction. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. It will be enough. Paul wrote to Timothy as he was building him up that he needed to have a completeness in the Scriptures, for it was given by the inspiration of God, and Timothy needed to be complete. He needed to be fully furnished, thoroughly equipped for everything he did. He needed to have the completeness. He needed to have the mature knowledge of the Scripture and grace to be able to teach. In 2 Timothy, verses 3 through 16, chapter 3, 16 and 17, and we've read those passages many times before, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Thoroughly equipped, complete, because it would be enough. And we see in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 through 21, the final message, the final building up. And remember in Hebrews, we've been going and doing that study through Sunday, how Christ was superior, but also that we needed to mature, and some of them that weren't ready to be mature. And so he was teaching them some very tough lessons, but at the end, trying to give them some building up and encouragement that they may be enough for God. In Hebrews 13, verses 20 and 21, now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his Spirit, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So he said, you needed to be complete. You need to be enough. You need to be focused on what that path and journey was. He talked about not going back. Don't harden your heart. Don't fall back into the Mosaic law. This is a new, better covenant. And so be forward, moving forward, pressing on. That's your goal. And Jesus knew when he prayed to the Father, his work on earth was coming to the end. John 17, verse 4. He knew that his tasks were coming to an end. But his tasks that he was going to complete, to finish, would be for all of mankind, for all the ages. And while he was hanging on the cross, he spoke those words, "It is finished." In John chapter 17, verse 4, "I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me." In John 19, verses 28 through 30, "After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, 'I thirst.' Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine and put it on a hyssop and put it to his mouth. So when Jesus has received the sour wine, he said, 'It is finished.' And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit." Sometimes we read this at the Lord's table, but we had to think about this, that he said he knew his work was being complete. He knew that he had to die, but he knew he was going to be resurrected again. He said that in John chapter 10. But he knew that his time was coming and that it would be enough for all of mankind through all the ages, that his work was being completed. His work was being finished. Paul also knew when his time was coming to an end, and he wrote to Timothy and told him about it. In Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." He knew that he had been enough. Paul had been through a lot in his life. He was educated well. He was sought by Jesus on the road to Damascus, where he had a very big life change. That through his missionary journeys throughout Asia and Mesopotamia, being shipwrecked, tossed out of the finest cities, left for dead, he knew that he was fighting the fight of Christianity for us all. "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith." We hope we hear those words too, that we have kept the faith, because it is enough. Our life continues at this point. We never know when our life will end. Are we doing enough? Is it enough? So I asked earlier, is it enough or it is enough? Could it never be enough? Again, that's an answer or a question we have to answer. Will it be enough? Are we growing? Are we maturing? Are we putting on Christ? Are we showing our maturity in the Scriptures? Are we showing maturity as a Christian? Remember, we have a treasure that's being stored up in heaven where nothing can destroy it. Nothing can erode it. Nothing can break it down. As long as we keep the faith, fight the good fight, finish the race, keep the faith. Well, Ecclesiastes, in the last chapter, in verses 13 and 14, we hear these words, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter." So the whole book of Ecclesiastes was talking about chasing things that he learned was vanity, food, knowledge, money, wealth, things that were only important in the world were all vanity. And the whole conclusion behind the book is this: let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. So if we fear God and keep his commandments, that's enough. That is enough. And in Galatians 6, verses 6 through 10, Paul writes, the letter to Galatia, "Let him who has taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will the Spirit reap everlasting life. And then in verse 9, let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. We need to keep that path. It says we need to not grow weary doing good. Our reward is in heaven. It is enough. Our reward in heaven will be enough. We only can imagine what that will look like. We see pictures from the vision of John in Revelation. We see it pictures throughout that Jesus had told us, well, I have made mansions for you in heaven. We sing songs about having a mansion in heaven, a little silver and a little gold, but I want to have a gold mansion when we get there. So let us not grow weary. Let us not lose heart. Every opportunity we have, let us do good, because it will be enough. And as we look to that question, is it enough or it will be enough? We have the opportunity also to continue to retrospectively look at our life and our direction. Are we walking that good path? Are we fighting that fight? As we get older, that fight seems to be harder and harder to maintain. As we get older, there's other things that seem to be pulling at us. As we see the world degrading in its own depravity, we have to keep above that. We need to be that light. We need to be shining examples, because then it will be enough. And keep our mind focused. As we talk about our invitation and extend that invitation, we reflect each time we come together. As we open God's Word, is it enough? Have we spent enough time with each other? Have we spent enough time building each other up? Have we spent time with our family, building them up and spending time with them? Remember, we need to know what is important. Being with God, helping to spread that word with loved ones and those that are our family, helping them also to get to that next step. As we look our lives, as we are mentors of our lives, of parents and grandparents, the best gift we can give is making sure our children, our grandchildren, and then that next generation has a firm foundation so that we can say, it is enough. And we can say like Paul, I have fought that good fight. I have finished that race. I have kept the faith. Well, we have this opportunity again in the waters of baptism. If you haven't been added, we can do that for you. Also, if you need the prayers of the congregation because you need that support, you need that help, you need that strengthening, you need that building up, we can do that as well. We know the steps of salvation are we need to hear and believe, Romans 10, verses 9 through 10. We need to repent, turn away from sin, 2 Peter 3, 9. We need to make that confession with our mouth that Lord is Savior, that Jesus died and was raised for the remission of our sins, now and forever. Being baptized in water for the remission of our sins, Matthew 28, verse 19, 1 Peter 3, 19 through 21, Galatians 3, 27, and many other passages we can put, Acts 2, 38. Walk and live a godly life so it can be enough. And as James 1, 22 through 25 says, not just we hear the word, but we have to practice that. We have to walk that path. We need to be doers of that path. We need to be focused on us. So as we look at the things we reflected on in 2025, do we have a bright 2026 as a group, as a family, as a congregation? And can we do enough for each other? If you have any need, why don't we stand now as we stand and sing?